Back here on the Mighty 690, as we approach 740, it is time for our chat with State Senator Virgil Peck joining us here in studio on our legislative update. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, James. I am doing well this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to be here with you and to visit with the listeners. Well, visit with, as in they listen to me. But
that's right. Well, it's still a conversation. So, hey, you know, it's been a busy week, I know, for you guys. And, too, it's been kind of a strange and interesting week with this whole cell phone thing happening. I understand some folks in Topeka were affected, of course. I know we had some people even in our office who their phones weren't working yesterday.
I didn't know it reached here. I guess I thought it was more for the bigger areas. But yes, I had sent my wife a text yesterday morning. This was around 7, a little bit before, because we had been in the Capitol for the legislative Bible study. And then we were going to go eat breakfast. She didn't get my text. And I thought, oh, hey, what's up with this? Of course, I know sometimes they're delayed. But found out later, because I didn't have any cell service at all for over an hour. And a lot of people in the Capitol did not have any cell service. A little bit concerning to me. It also kind of showed, in a humorous way, if you will, that we have got so dependent on technology that our life can be turned upside down when there's a little bit of interruption in the technology in our life.
I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot since yesterday, and people don't realize how extremely fragile our cell network is. So, and it's one of those things that, unfortunately, hackers do have their eyes on. And I know that, you know, lots of people, I know those folks at AT&T, I'm sure they take it very seriously as far as their cybersecurity, but there are still ways that, unfortunately, these bad actors could get in. I mean, it's just one of those things that we cannot sleep on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not only cell phone, which that's, of course, communication, but also our electric grid is vulnerable to some type of attacks, as well as some other things in our lives. So I guess the learning experience here is you might want to prepare for other ways. And I know, James, as it relates to communication, you have a unique way of communicating.
That's right. I mean, of course, here on the radio, but of course, the ham radio is when all else fails. I mean, our systems don't rely on any infrastructure, so we're always able to communicate. So, you know, that's why we're big proponents of getting that going here locally and having some plans set up to where we can help in times of those emergencies.
Well, it is important because throughout history, in recent history, when communication has been down, whenever there's been an issue, even when landlines, ham radio operators were able to get word spread, not nearly as fast because there's not nearly as many of you, but that is a valuable resource for government as well as individuals.
Yeah, so we are here and we're a resource, and we're continuing to work on that on our end. So. Hey, I know that it's been a little bit of a disappointment here this past week with the veto override, unfortunately, failing from the perspective of the GOP and everything. So you want to touch just a little bit on that and kind of what the situation was and how that all went.
Yes, that was a frustrating and heartbreaking loss. I will just say to at the very outset, Kansas citizens are paying more in taxes today because of who our governor is. The reason I say that is back in 2019, the legislature passed legislation to eliminate the sales tax on groceries. She vetoed it. And then last session, we had legislation to cut income taxes, property taxes, and sales tax. She vetoed it. Had she not vetoed this year's legislation, because it was effective for tax year 2024, the withholdings tax would have been reduced, so everyone's paycheck would be a little bit bigger. So I, without hesitation, say and tell everyone that you are paying higher taxes in Kansas today because of who our governor is. Now, having said that, let's move forward. We had the veto override attempt on the House side. Once the governor vetoed it, the House had 30 days to consider veto override. They wanted to immediately, but sickness kept cropping up with flu and various other things, so they couldn't get a full attendance. They just decided Tuesday, because the 25th, which is Sunday, is the deadline. So they decided Tuesday we're going to hold a vote, and they did. And it was interesting and disappointing. Some of the individuals who had previously voted for the tax cut legislation flipped on us and decided they wouldn't vote for it. So the veto override failed in the House, so the Senate did not even get an opportunity to weigh in. We were told the House had it together, they would override it, then it would come to us. Well, that's not going to happen. So, I was going to vote for the veto override.
So opponents of the veto override these tax cuts, they believe that the plan would favor wealthy taxpayers too much. What do you say to that?
I say baloney. it did not favor wealthy taxpayers. James, it's the same with any tax cut, a sales tax cut, any tax cut. The more you make or the more you spend, the more you save. So if that's favoring the wealthy, so be it. But this tax plan, with current law, totally eliminated state income taxes for 330,000 of the lowest earning Kansans. And that is frustrating that low-income Kansans will not see an elimination of their state income tax liability because of that veto. Now, moving forward, I don't know if we're going to move forward. The governor's had her opportunity last year and this year. She has failed to come to the table. She will not negotiate. It's kind of like, here's my plan, adopt it. James, that's not the way it works in Topeka, particularly when she's in the minority party and then the other party has a super majority, which that's frustrating to me as a Republican. I'll just admit, if we did our job as Republicans, if we hung together, but we have a few Republicans who apparently are not Republicans. And so they don't work with us as well as they could. But will we be able to get in kind of another tax plan? I don't know. I don't feel good about that potential. I don't feel good about that possibility. If it is, it will not be nearly as good a deal as what we had for every Kansan. So we'll see going forward. One thing that the governor kept talking about the single rate tax. Now, she keeps calling it a flat tax, which is wrong. It's not a flat tax. And that bugs me because we're not talking about a flat tax. Anyone who calls it that's simply just calling it that because they want to try to make it look bad. It's a single rate income tax, meaning everybody pays the same rate. Our neighboring states, I'm just going to run through the numbers right quick. Nebraska has a single rate starting in 2027. So they don't today, but they will here in a couple years. Their single rate will be 3.99. less than 4%. Colorado is currently 4.4%, and their Democrat governor says, hey, one of the best ways to stimulate our economy is to reduce our income tax rate. So a Democrat governor in Colorado is pushing for a lower single rate. They're currently 4.4. He wants it to be 4%. Just as a reminder, Kansas top rate is 5.7. Keep that figure in mind, 5.7. Missouri's top rate is 4.8, nearly a percentage point under Kansas. Oklahoma's top rate is 4.75, nearly a point under Kansas. Arkansas, which is not a neighboring state but in the region, is 4.4% top rate. So my point, James, is 5.7% is significantly higher than these other rates. Now, let's just go for a moment with those who say, well, this favored the wealthy. Do we not want wealthy people in Kansas? I mean, are we going to do everything we can to chase them out of our state? James, I want rich people in Kansas. I'm not rich, not even close to it, even though some people have accused me of being rich, which I'd be glad to, but I'm not. Rich people create jobs. They own businesses. They pay a bigger portion of the taxes than the rest of us. So I want wealthy people in Kansas. I want them to come to Kansas, and what we have right now is we're chasing them away. There are a lot of people with money who have moved south, east. A lot of them have gone to places like Texas and Tennessee with zero income tax. There are several states that have zero income tax. Seven states have zero income tax. There are 13 states that have a single rate income tax. So 20 states in the United States have a single rate. And you can say the seven states with no income tax, their tax rate is zero. So that's a single rate. But anyway, so enough, I guess, about that. There was a lot of frustration and anger in the Capitol. And I guess you and the listeners can tell from my discussion, there's a little bit of anger still here, even though it was Tuesday.
Sure, I can understand. Well, we're talking here with State Senator Virgil Peck. And, sir, I know that you've had here some folks visiting the Capitol, continued to honor a few folks throughout the state for some of their accomplishments. So you want to talk about a few of those?
That was cool. And that's a whole lot more fun, to talk about, too, by the way. But, yes, we had the Bulldog Boys from Independence High School, tennis class 4A state champions. And the interesting thing about those young men, not just the young men that were in the Capitol, but the tennis program in Indy has been successful for a long time. They were state champions in 23 last year. They were state champions in 22 and in 2021. So they have that. They already have that three-peat going that we're talking about for the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl. But the Independence High School tennis team boys have that three-peat going, and they're looking for, I don't know, you could call it a four-peat. But they were in the Capitol. Representative Ron Bryce had an opportunity to honor them on the House side, and then I had the privilege of honoring them on the Senate side. Interestingly, doesn't happen real often in any school, but Independence High School Lady Bulldogs were also state champions last year. They won it all. They, in 2022, when the boys were state champions, the girls were runners-up, meaning they were second place. But this year, they won state championship in tennis. And then equally for me personally, as an honor, was to have Coach Ken Brown in the Capitol with the Independence tennis teams. Coach Brown has been a coach at Independence in the tennis program for, I don't know for certain, nearly 30 years. And he still coaches the middle school or junior high and assists some with the high school. But the reason it was great to have Coach Brown there, he is a Kansas State High School Activities Association Hall of Fame inductee for 2023. That is pretty cool for Montgomery County. And I realize, James, I'm sitting in Coffeyville talking about Independence, but to me, we are all Montgomery County citizens. Yeah. And no. So I just thought it was really fun and interesting, and it was a memorable experience, I'm confident, for the young people.
Oh, yeah. No, we're happy to highlight all those success stories for sure. And then moving right along, I know that we do have, you know, earlier this week we did have the deadline pass for registering for that primary. You know, we got the vote coming up here as far as the presidential, you know, primary year and everything. Wanted to just have you share your thoughts just a little bit on that, as, you know, we do have that upcoming.
Sharing my thoughts on that. James, I have thoughts on about everything you want to bring up. But yes, the change in registration, meaning if you had to update your registration because you moved or changed your name, passed. That was the 20th, which was Tuesday, another day we already talked about, but we'll move on from that. The state of Kansas will have a presidential preference primary on March the 19th. We passed legislation last year to authorize this presidential preference primary for the two parties. Historically, Kansas has had a caucus where the parties organize their own event election and pay for it. Well, some legislators thought it would be a good idea to have a presidential preference primary. They said, hey, it will bring economic benefit to the state. We'll have candidates come to the state and spend money on advertising and et cetera. And I opposed it. I said, no, this is going to cost us $5 million. Well, it's not going to cost us $5 million. It's $4.7. Okay, sorry, I was wrong. But it will cost Kansas taxpayers $4.7 million for Democrats to say Joe Biden is our nominee, and for Republicans to say Donald Trump is our nominee. But I was one that was proposing ending or stopping, but I should have got on it a little earlier, because on the 2nd of this month, which is now over 20 days ago, the ballots were mailed out to our military personnel. So the process started on February the 2nd. There will be four names on the ballot for Democrats. A guy named Dean Phillips, don't know who that is. A guy named Jason Palmer, don't know who that is. A guy named Joseph Biden, he don't know who he is. Oh, sorry. And then someone named Marianne Williamson. Those will be the four Democrats. On the Republican side, there Nikki Haley will be on the ballot if she's still in it. And the reason I was opposed to it, not only the $5 million cost, but it's after Super Tuesday. By Super Tuesday, when several states vote, races are pretty much over. But anyway, Nikki Haley, name will appear on the ballot. Ron DeSantis' name will be on the ballot. There's a guy named Donald Trump who will be on the ballot. And everybody knows who that is, of course. And then someone named Ryan Binkley will be on the ballot. Don't know who Ryan is, but these eight individuals will show up on the two different ballots. So if you're a Republican, you vote in the Republican primary. If you're a Democrat, you vote in the Democrat primary. These individuals had to pay a $10,000 filing fee and file the paperwork. My thought was, you got eight people, that's $80,000. Let's give them their $10,000 back. We're still saving a whole lot of money over 4.7. But again, I don't always win on what I think, so we will have a vote on March the 19th, which is about 2 weeks after Super Tuesday, which is March the 5th. So anyway, it's going to happen. So I encourage people to get out and vote.
All right. Now, we do have a little bit of an update over the Wildlife and Parks Commission.
Yes, I kind of laugh because I, as chair of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, had the, quote, privilege, close quote, or responsibility to carry the legislation on the floor, and I was glad to. But it just seems like a lot of the legislation that I carry is some that is a little bit more controversial. We had legislation to confirm the Wildlife and Parks Commission. The reason this is important, James, is in 2016, Kansas voters, by an 81% to 19%, meaning overwhelmingly, voted to adopt an amendment to the Kansas Bill of Rights that added language to protect the right to hunt, fish, and trap. The Constitution says that people have the right to hunt, fish, and trap, including by the use of traditional methods subject to reasonable laws and regulations that promote wildlife conservation and management, and it goes on from there. But because it is a constitutional right in the state of Kansas, the commission currently is strictly appointed by the governor, and that's it. I thought, as well as the majority of the Senate, that we should look at these individuals. Are they going to protect our constitutional right, or are we going to have individuals who do not agree with hunting, fishing, and trapping of wildlife running our department that controls that? So we passed legislation. We'll see what the House does, but on the Senate side, it passed 24-15 to confirm the Wildlife and Parks Commission. And again, my whole thing is, let's make certain these individuals do believe in hunting, fishing, and trapping, and so they're not going to be trying to put really stringent regulations or guidelines. We also, on that topic, had just this week, we learned while we were talking about the commission that the Secretary of Wildlife and Parks has eminent domain authority. He's an appointed position. It could be a she, but it's currently a he. Is an appointed position. I don't know that an appointed bureaucrat should have eminent domain authority, so we had legislation to remove that eminent domain authority. I couldn't get it out of committee, so rather than remove it, we just put parameters, guidelines, restrictions on where the secretary can exercise eminent domain. That was just this last week, and it passed 25-15. One thing in that legislation, when we read the statute, that blew me away. It said, basically, this is going to be Virgil Peck's redneck translation of Kansas statutes, that if the Secretary of Wildlife and Parks decides to exercise eminent domain, he tells the Attorney General, and then the Attorney General in statute, the word shall is there, says the Attorney General shall proceed with what's necessary for eminent domain. I didn't like the fact that an unelected bureaucrat, the Secretary of Wildlife and Parks, could order, tell an elected official, attorney general, doesn't matter who the attorney general is, they are elected, that they have to start the process for eminent domain. So we changed it from a shall to a may, so it means at the discretion of the attorney general, if the secretary, within these restricted guidelines, decides to exercise eminent domain, then the attorney general can look and see if they believe it's lawful or not. And finally, on that, I believe it is fair to tell everyone this has not been a problem. The secretary has not over-exercised eminent domain at all. But it's better, to my way of thinking, to pass legislation to deal with an issue that could come up rather than wait till it has come up and then try to deal with it.
Gotcha. Well, unfortunately, that's about all the time we have here today. It always goes quick. But State Senator Virgil Peck, so glad you could join us here today and look forward to having you on again next month.
I appreciate the opportunity. But yes, time flies when you're having fun.
That's right. Okay. Hey, well, Shay's going to be taking over the program here right after our conversation with Charles Skink at Skink Insurance. So I'll see you all tomorrow.